Dear friends in Jesus Christ, our new nature, that's a nature that God has given us when we were made alive in Christ. Our new nature, it always desires to know and follow the Word of God. However, though, we still have this old nature in us. And what is our old nature trying to get us to do? Our old nature is trying to get us to live as if we were not the holy children of God. We have this desire to please God, and yet we find ourselves going the other way over and over again. Thinking about the title of the sermon today, Internal Fighting, Why Is It Good? Well, think about it like this. When the fighting is going on, it shows that the new nature is still in the fight. In other words, it is possible for the old nature to defeat the new nature, and then there's no fight anymore. However, though, the new nature is not able to defeat the old nature in this life. So as long as the fight is continuing, it might not be pleasant, but it's actually a good thing. It's helping us understand we still have the new nature. The new nature is alive and working and fighting. That is actually a good thing. I want to come back to that topic toward the end. May the Holy Spirit help us today to understand our own internal fight a little bit better as we compare it with the fight going on in the Apostle Paul long ago. May he also help us to know what to do when we fall into sin, and also show us how to strengthen the new nature so the new nature can better dominate over the old nature in our daily lives. In this first section, Paul is telling us that the law is good. He wrote, "For we know that the law is of divine origin, but I," Paul is saying, "I am of this fallen world, sold into the bondage of sin." When we think about the law of God, it may seem harsh to us. It may seem restrictive to us. But what should we really conclude about the law? The law is good for us, and the law is for our survival. The law is for our benefit. That is the proper way to look at the law. When we follow God's law, God is honored and we are blessed. That should encourage us to follow it. We want to honor our great God. We want to be blessed. When we break God's law, what should that remind us of? Whenever we sin, may that remind us of how much we desperately need Jesus Christ. There are so many living in the world today, and they have figured out in their own hearts and minds that I'm okay, I don't need Jesus. But let's allow us falling into sin always be a reminder, oh, I am not perfect. I have fallen short. I can't fix that. I desperately need Jesus Christ. We don't want to fall into sin, but when we do, may it always point us to Christ. Thinking about the topic here of confusion, Paul picked up in verse 15, "For what I am doing, according to my old nature, I do not understand, for I'm not practicing what I would like to do, following my new nature, but I'm doing the very thing I hate, following my old nature." Let's understand that as repentant believers, we are like Paul. We are forgiven and we are heaven-bound. We desire to do God's will, but our old nature keeps pulling us into sin. Kind of a sad situation. And then Paul made a confession here. "But if I do the very thing I do not want to do, I agree with the law, confessing that the law is good." I thought that was confusing when I read that. What does that mean? Since Paul believed the law was good, he hated when he broke it. Does that make sense? He believed the law was good, So when he broke it, he hated that he broke it. May that same attitude be in each one of us, believing the law is good and having godly sorrow whenever we break it. So important. In the second part, let's understand that sin keeps trying to control us. I want to distinguish here a little bit between the old and the new. Paul wrote, "So now, no longer am I the one doing the sin, but the old nature which dwells in me. For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is, in my flesh. For the willing," in other words, the willingness to do God's will, "the willing is present in me according to my new nature, but the doing of the good is not." Paul was not blaming the law for his sin, but he was blaming the old nature in him for the sin. And where did he get that old nature? He got it from Adam. So Adam and Eve fell, and then that old nature was passed down to their children, their grandchildren, their great-grandchildren, all the way down the line. Every one of us received that old nature. I want to share a quote here from Dr. Kretzmann. He wrote, "The depth and power of evil in the old Adam is so great that it succeeds again and again in asserting its mastery." Isn't that so sad? This old nature in us, even though we are the redeemed children of God, this old nature in us is so great and it succeeds over and over again. But he continues with the quote, though, "But of this, the Christian's new life does not approve. Against it, he struggles. From it, he seeks deliverance." So even though we fall into sin over and over again, we should never get comfortable with that. We should never say, "Well, I can't stop. I might as well just indulge in it." We should never get to that point. We should always continue the fight. We should always continue the struggle. And then, in a sense, Paul is saying here, be responsible. Verse 19, "For the good that I want, I do not do, but I practice the very evil that I do not want. But if I am doing the very thing I do not want, I am no longer the one doing it, but sin which dwells in me." So what did Paul mean by this evil? He said, "I practice the very evil I do not want." Now, using the word evil there, that's a pretty strong word. But I want to take a look here for a moment at the Greek word they're translating evil. The Greek word is kakon. Now, that's a much lesser evil than other Greek words. Now, some people might see the word evil and say, "Well, okay, I've got the old nature and I can do all manner of evil. Paul was doing all manner of evil. I can do all manner of evil too. I shouldn't be surprised." That is not what he's saying here. He's talking about a very lesser form of evil. So let's understand a little bit what this word kakon means. So it can mean having a lack of something. In other words, "Oh, I did that, but I didn't give my best effort. Something was lacking." It can also mean an inaccuracy. "Oh, I wanted to do that, but I ended up doing something over here. I missed the mark. I was inaccurate." It can also mean something good for nothing. "Oh, I did something, but really it was a waste of time. It was good for nothing." I hope you can see with those three examples, we are talking about a very lesser kind of an evil. The word does not include premeditated wickedness. Therefore, let us be responsible. Let us build up our new nature. Let us avoid all that will surely bring God's eternal wrath. If you pick up a copy of the sermon and look at the footnote in the bottom here on page 3, I have 3 references from the Bible, and it lists a whole bunch of sins, and those are the sins of the greater evil. And the Bible is so clear that if we are continuing in any of those, and there's a bunch of them there, it's the kind of sins that are so common in the world today, where people do them, they have no shame, they think there's nothing wrong with them. If you look at these passages, it's going to show very clearly that most of the world is on their way to eternal punishment. They are calling the wrath of God upon themselves, and they probably don't even know it. Let us never be in any of those categories. And if we are, let us repent. There is forgiveness in Jesus Christ. And then we come to the internal war within every believer. Verse 21, I find then the principle that the old nature is present in me. In other words, present in that part of me who is alive in Christ and wants to do good. Isn't that such a dilemma? Here we are forgiven in Christ, we are alive in Christ, we want to do good, and yet we've got that rotten old nature right in there with us. Let us understand this. In this life, the old nature will always be with us. The old nature will always be with us. And then Paul writes, "For I joyfully agree with the law of God in my new nature, but I see a different law in the members of my body, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin, which is in my members." So we have this internal war raging within us. What is important? It is important that we keep fighting. We never give up. We never tap out. We never give in to the sinful world in which we live. And then in part 4, we have both the problem and the solution. Paul wrote, "Wretched man that I am." Why was he wretched? He was wanting to honor God in every moment of his life, and yet he found at the same time he's falling into sin. "Wretched man that I am, who will set me free from the old nature? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord." God understands that we are helpless to be able to deal with the old nature. The old nature is going to keep overcoming us over and over again. So what did God do? In great love for us, God sends his Son. And we know what Jesus did by his perfect living, sacrificial dying. He defeated sin, death, and the devil. He did it for us. He did it for everyone. Now, by grace, through faith, in Jesus Christ, for eternal life. I hope you understand every aspect of what I just said. By grace, through faith, in Jesus, for eternal life. I'm not going to explain it now. I'm going to go into it a little bit more in Bible class, but that short little phrase is so important for our salvation. It's also a great way to be able to share that short little phrase with someone and then explain each of the key words, and we can tell them so much about our great God and Savior with that short phrase. Let's understand that through faith in Jesus, we are sharing in his victory. We, in reality, are losers. In Christ, we share in his victory. We are winners in him. And let us understand that eventually, we will be free from the old nature. Think about this kind of a situation. Finally, when you have a knockout and the opponent is on the mat and not getting up, then you know you have won the victory. Well, when we think about finally dying in Christ, now when our loved ones die in Christ, is that sad? Do we miss them? Are we mourning? By all means, that is normal. That is natural. But let's understand, though, when our loved ones die in Christ, that is when we have the old nature. Finally, he is on the mat. He is not getting up. And finally, he is defeated forever. So really, a Christian funeral, that is a celebration that finally this body of death is gone. This old nature is no longer going to bother us again. So let's understand it that way, and let's not fear death, but let's look forward to it, knowing that in Christ we are forgiven, knowing that that will get the old nature away from us forever, knowing that God's going to take us to paradise, and it's going to be wonderful, and knowing that there's even more yet to come when Christ returns and raises our bodies back to life. Let us never fear such things. Finally, here at the end, we have this ongoing internal fight within us. Finally, Paul wrote, "So then, on the one hand, I myself, with my new nature, am serving the law of God by knowing what is right and wanting to do it. But on the other hand, with my old nature, I am serving the law of sin. And so I find myself being tempted, and not only being tempted, but even falling into sin." So that mixed up situation, that internal struggle, that is part of who we are as believers. But again, let us keep struggling. Let us never give in to the old nature. I want to conclude like this today. So what to do when we fall into sin? First of all, we should admit it. So many people have concluded that even though the Bible says, oh, that's a sin, because so many others are saying it's not a sin, and even so many churches are saying it's not a sin, then people are living in a particular sin, but they are not admitting it because so many are saying it's okay. It doesn't matter what I say. It doesn't matter what you say. It only matters what God says. Let us always go with the word of God. If God says it's wrong, let us admit it is wrong. It is sin. Let us also understand when we fall into sin. Now, I might have a situation where maybe I sin against that guy right there. I sinned against him. And I'm like, well, he's a rotten guy anyway. My sin isn't that big of a deal. But God wants us to understand that when I sin against that rotten guy, ultimately, I have sinned against the Almighty God. Because that rotten guy, God made him. That rotten guy, Jesus died for him. God wants us to keep these things in mind and understand how serious of a matter sin is. God wants us to be sorry. He wants us to have that godly sorrow. He wants us to look to Jesus for forgiveness, to know that only in him, the Son of God in human flesh, who did everything for us, only in him is there forgiveness. And then to seek the help of the Holy Spirit that we might go forward in life and sin no more. Now, is that possible? Well, in a technical sense, it's possible, because every time we are tempted, God provides a way for us to escape the temptation. But unfortunately, we're not always taking it, let us be honest. So we want to go forward without sin. We try to go forward without sin. And yet when we fall, to go down through that list, admit it, understand it, and so on. But to strengthen the new nature, though, how do we go about that? Why don't we go ahead and use the famous prayer that we pray sometimes as Lutherans, that we should do what with the Word of God? We should hear it, read it, mark it, learn it, and inwardly digest it. So a great way to do that is to find a key passage and to memorize it. When we get down to the end on inwardly digesting it, all of you know we have a beautiful refreshment time right after our divine service. Nobody needs to go out for brunch. We have brunch right down the hall here. And what's going to happen is the food on the counter, as our digestive system does its work, that food is going to become part of who we are physically. We might like that idea or not like that idea, but that's kind of how it works. But what does God want us to do, though? He wants us to take key parts of his word and make them part of who we are spiritually. A great way to do that is to memorize. If you're wondering how to memorize a verse, it's an easy thing. If you pick up a copy of the brochure in the rack by our main entrance called Daily Devotion, it has 9 tips in there on how to memorize a Bible verse. And really, it's a matter of going over and over and over it. But I encourage you to pick one verse this week, follow the tips, put it to memory, and I think God will bless you. God will strengthen your new nature, and God will use you to be a blessing to others. Let us pray. Dear Holy Spirit, we pray that you would fill us, just like we fill the gas tank on our cars. Fill us up, and then give us godly sorrow for every sin. Assure us that regarding every sin in Christ, we are forgiven, and then fortify our new nature. Fortify our new nature through God's holy word, and do it so that in our lives, moment by moment, day by day, we are glorifying our Father who is in heaven. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.